been almost 6 years since the COVID-19 pandemic devastated the world, and for one Wisconsin poet, the millions of people who died from COVID still weigh heavily on his mind.
DeWitt Clinton is a UW-Whitewater Professor Emeritus of English. His new poetry collection is called When and If.
It reflects his feelings during and since the pandemic, reminding us that we all experienced the worldwide health crisis together and are still recovering in our own ways.
Here's an excerpt of his poem titled Not Exactly, with reflections on contact tracing.
Heck, it's hard to remember anything yesterday, let alone all the times we've been in contact with someone else out there. So just don't try to make a big deal out of it and enjoy what you have right now, because believe me, and I'm not the only one who knows this, it's more than likely not going to turn out like you hoped it would.
DeWitt Clinton joins us now to talk more about poetry. DeWitt, thanks for being here.
I'm glad to be here with you and all of your staff.
Well, we're going to explore this new collection, but first I'm drawn to what looks like an oil painting on the cover. Can you explain its significance?
Yes, this is a painting. It's from Jeannie Tomusko, who is living near somewhere in one of the suburbs of Madison. It was a delight to find her work.
What does the painting mean to you?
Well, it's abstract and somewhat pastoral and somewhat calming. And those were themes that I thought might be helpful to perhaps get readers to open the book.
You know, When and If is a departure from your other works, and it explores these very personal feelings, complex feelings, especially around the COVID pandemic, which is in our collective memory. I'm wondering what caused you to pursue writing about the pandemic?
Because I was terribly afraid. That's it. Every day, we received, pardon me for choking up, every day we would receive news notices on how devastating it was in so many places of the world, and how hospitals were using parking lots for refrigerated trucks for corpses. It was just scary. Still is. I just got another COVID vaccination shot a few days ago. And I was thinking, I thought this was over. No, I think we'll have this one. And I'm sure people are being infected by COVID as we speak. The book is essentially a Kaddish or a memorial to all those who did die in the pandemic, as well as someone in my home who didn't die of pandemic, but from other illnesses.
Can you talk about Jacqueline and the grief you had over your wife's death and how this poetry is informed by that?
Well, one thing to add is that while my wife was fading from her chronic illnesses, both physical and mental, and we learned from her last hospital visit that she had serious heart condition that needed to be operated on, and she chose not to. So it was like being a caretaker, and it's quite a fatiguing experience. But she once asked me, when she was still lucid, how in the world can you write poetry when you're taking care of me? Mm-hmm. We talked a lot about death and about where she's going after death. But the one question I couldn't answer was, why am I writing? It was only much later, long after she had died, that I realized, well, I would probably be in a psychiatric hospital if I wasn't writing, because it became therapeutic. A lot of these poems helped me to get through those years. My wife was ill a very long time, years and years. It only increased in early 2021.
I notice that this collection you're writing with very few stanza breaks, and almost in some respects it feels like this stream of consciousness. Why did you compose in this format?
Well, when you compose in stanzas, and sometimes if you're writing formal verse, which I don't write in, you're aware of making something artistic. And I don't think any of these poems are artistic. That might be a contradictory. but it's more like spontaneous writing, or what might be called electric writing. In other words, not stopping until you have exhausted yourself, which is what a lot of the poems did for me. They just exhausted my mind. I wanted to compose these so that a person could read them as a conversation.
Yeah.
These are conversations with readers, although I don't know what their thoughts are. We'll find out if anybody sends a postcard. I think that the writing that I was doing prior to this collection had sort of an objectivity to it. And I hardly ever wrote about any feelings I might have about something. I was always trying to observe without being emotional. I think for decades I would write about something in the world in terms of history or in terms of a text or a painting. That was my sort of place to compose. But these poems have helped me to recognize that I do have emotions. I may not communicate them very well with people, but I've discovered them in me. That's a lot.
What are you writing about now?
Just a second here. This is, I'm writing a new collection called Is, Was, Is, which is confusing to people because there once was a present, and then it's a past, and there's something new, the is. So it's looking back a little bit at life, and as well into the future. I think they're more hopeful poems. At least I would hope so.
We're talking with UW-Whitewater Professor Emeritus DeWitt Clinton. His new poetry collection is called When and If. I understand that you've selected a poem to read for us from When and If. Can you give us a bit of introduction and what you brought for us?
Sure. Here is a poem entitled On Reading Luminous Poems in an Escape, that's a Ford model, while outside Corona drops people off at the curb or at the nearby hospital or morgue. If it helps, the time is early afternoon, sheltered in a covered parking lot, waiting for someone to draw a blood sample of someone else. The wind outside makes everything move in a way that something natural is about to happen, but most are not masked. The storm is coming soon. Everything will be soaked. We have two more weeks or months or more of lockdown. The virus may never leave. One by one, it will find us on every continent. In a few minutes, we will make lunch, find a movie set in deep space where we cannot go or even visit, but we decide to go anyway. Each time when we go out, if we go out again, we will measure 2 weeks before either of us falls down and dies. If we don't fall down, we think we can outlive what's out there. But a dear friend tells us just wait. Try to pretend what could never end. And that's just what we're going to do right after lunch.
I hear urgency and just so much movement in your poetry. It just feels like I'm I'm going and I'm moving and there's a lot of emotion. Do you feel that?
Absolutely. Especially when reading it again after writing it a few years ago. The poems are spontaneous. They're not crafted. Some readers might say, well, this isn't really poetry. I wouldn't argue with that reader at all about that. It's something, and the closest thing to it is poetry. Think about spontaneity.
Mm-hmm.
Think about letting whatever comes into my old head out. And yes, I'm sure there's some grammatical mistakes, as always. There's some fixing up of lines, maybe adjusting the line length so that it fits on a page. But for the most part, I don't think there's any attempt on my part to make the piece that I'm writing artistic. It's more of a outpouring of many emotions.
That might also feel inspiring and refreshing to someone who's like, well, DeWitt's just letting words fly. I should try letting words fly onto the page.
Yes.
What would you say to that?
I would say, let's do that together or try that out. See how you feel. So much of poetry, when you read it in poetry journals or in books of poetry, you see carefully crafted work. I would be the first to say my work is not carefully crafted. It's more a spontaneous overflow of powerful feelings. That's a quote from William Wordsworth. But he also added, reflected in tranquility. There's nothing in this poetry, in this collection, that's tranquil. Recollected in tranquility means in months or years later, William Wordsworth would write something. But if you hear the quote again, the spontaneous overflow of powerful feelings reflected in tranquility, the last part I cannot relate to. The first part is everything that's in this collection.
DeWitt, before we close, I'm wondering if you tell yourself ever no more, like I'm done writing about COVID, I'm going to do something else or focus on a different topic. Do you do that at all? Do you compartmentalize topics?
No.
Okay.
I can answer it, your question this way, Kate. I taught Holocaust literature and genocide literature at my university for quite a long time. And when I came up to a last sabbatical, I was proposing another study of genocide as it applies to literature. And then in the application of the sabbatical, I said, no, I don't want to do that. I'd like to look at all the world collections of 100 poems. There aren't very many out there. There are maybe fewer than 100 collections because it's quite a challenge for a poet to put together the 100 best. But I came across a Chinese translation, 100 poems from the Chinese by Kenneth Rexroth. And the first poem was so beautiful. These are poems of the 8th, 9th century up to about the 13th, 14th century. I started writing and I felt like I was under a waterfall because it was so refreshing to me to be not writing again, not studying again the horrors of the Holocaust and genocides everywhere. So I'm sure that my meter will change. I'm always sort of surprised what the next day becomes because I'm trying to live in the present as much as possible. And it's very hard to, because you're always thinking what you've done and what you're going to be doing. So I look upon life as a, oh, as a surprise.
Well, DeWitt, thank you for your words. What a pleasure. Appreciate this conversation.
Thank you. Nice to be with you.
That is UW-Whitewater Professor Emeritus of English, DeWitt Clinton. We talked about his new poetry book, When and If. He's set to do a reading at Boswell Books in Milwaukee on November 7th.